Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith. It contains a long list of the great people of God who accomplished great things through the mighty acts of faith. Now, included in this list is Noah, Joseph, Abraham, Moses, and the person whose story we'll read this evening. Hebrews 11, 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, thus she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Is that correct? Does it say the prostitute? How did a woman with this dubious reputation find her way into the Hall of Faith? You know, along the side of the great men of faith in the Old Testament. Well, that's what we want to learn this evening. Rahab's story is an important one. Now, her story is found in Joshua 2, so let's look at it. And it begins with the spy, Joshua sending the spies in the territory known as the Promised Land. Joshua said to her in verse 1, "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now, let's stop right there for a moment. Why did the spies choose to stay at a prostitute's house? In this culture, at this time in history, brothels were often hotels and vice versa. The concept of the family-friendly hotel was non-existent. Most travelers stayed with friends and relatives. When people visited a city in which they knew no one, they had few options for lodging. Typically, men stayed at the local inn, which was most likely also a brothel. Verses 2 through 5 here. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." Much has been made of the fact that Rahab lied to the king's men. I mean, isn't lying a sin? How could God use her after she lied this way? How could God be in this plan? Many commentators go to great lengths to justify and or explain away her actions, citing, for example, that she wasn't Jewish and therefore wasn't under the law, or perhaps that the lie took place prior to her act of faith and was therefore a pre-salvation sin. And on it goes. And here's the truth of the situation. Rahab lied. Lying is wrong. We all know that. It's a sin to tell a lie. But Rahab found herself in a desperate situation. She lied to protect good men from getting killed by bad men. She didn't lie for the sake of convenience. She lied to save men's lives. There's a difference. This passage cannot be construed to endorse lying. But it does acknowledge its necessity in desperate situations. Rahab did what any of us would do in a similar situation. Think about it. Imagine that you lived in 1940s Germany and you know that a Jewish family is living in your neighbor's attic. If you are approached by the authorities asking if you know where they are hiding, what will you do? No doubt you will protect the innocent, even if you have to misrepresent the truth. Or if you work in the shelter for a battered woman and an abusive husband calls, asking then, "Is my wife staying there?" You know what you will do. You'll say what you have to say to protect the innocent. This isn't an endorsement of lying. It's not like telling the guy at the theater that your 6'7" teenage son is 12 so that you can save a couple bucks off on a movie ticket. There's a huge difference. Rahab lied to save an innocent life. it's better not to lie. But when lives are at stake, you do what you have to do. Verses 7 through 9 here then say, so the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. Let's stop right here for a few minutes. There are three observations I want to make about Rahab. Three ways that her story parallels the story of so many people in the church today. First off, I want you to see that it is possible to live in the promised land without living the promised life. It is possible to live in the promised land without living the promised life. The city where Rahab lived, Jericho, was in the land that God had promised to the people of Israel. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where the Israelites were told they could live in peace and prosperity and freedom and happiness. Rahab was already living in the promised land, but she wasn't experiencing the promises. In fact, far from it. She had the most degrading occupation a woman can have. And she wasn't the only one. Virtually everyone in Jericho was afraid what was to come. Rahab told the spies, verses 10 through 12, all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Rahab, along with all the people of Jericho, were living in the promised land, but they weren't living the promised life. Why? Because they were living under the leadership of the wrong king. I see this in churches too often. Many people are members of the family of God. They're involved in a great church. They're surrounded by Christian friends, but they're unable to enjoy the life of promise. And why? Because they're living under the influence of the wrong kind of leader. Many people in this situation think, I need a change of scenery. You know, I need a new church. I need a new town, a new job, a new set of friends, a new wife, a new pastor, a new boss. Because there's something wrong with my surroundings here. You know what? It's not your surroundings. It's you. Rahab didn't need to move to a new city. She needed a new kingdom to be established where she was. The same is true for you. You need a new government in your life, a new source of leadership, a new kingdom. If you want to enter the promised land, if you want to start living the life of your dreams, you don't need a change of scenery. You need a change of authority. You need to surrender control of your life to Jesus Christ. I'm talking to the Christians here this evening. Too many of you are living in the promised land, but are not living the promised life because you're not fully submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You're in the same position Rahab was in. But the good news is, you don't have to stay there. Your life can change. And when you're ready to make that change. The second thing that I want you to see this evening is that it is possible to undo a life of sin with a single act of faith. It's possible to undo a life of sin with a single act of faith. Verses 12 through 16 here. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope to the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Rahab was a prostitute. She had lived a life of sin and sensuality, and when she heard stories about the miracle working of the God of the Hebrews, how he delivered his people from the hands of Pharaoh, how he brought them out of slavery in Egypt, how he had directed them and protected them and provided for them over the course of their journeys in the desert during that generation there, something inside her caused her to realize that this God was different than the other gods. That this God was the one true God. And it was this God that she wanted to serve. And so she took this bold step of faith. She protected the spies. And as a result, her life was saved. Had it not been for this act of faith, she would have perished with the rest of the city. But her faith saved her. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Do you see what happened? An entire life of sin was changed by a simple act of faith. It's the same today. Many people live a life of sin. They live a life without God. But it can all be changed. One act of faith is all it takes. One step in God's direction is all it takes. And the pain and the guilt and the shame and the degradation of yesterday can disappear forever under the transforming power of the grace of God. Now, what does it mean to make an act of faith? It's more than an intellectual assent. You know, it's more than just saying you believe. An act of faith is just what the term implies. It's faith that leads to action. Now, the book of James says in James 2:26, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Rahab was listed in the hall of faith because her actions demonstrated genuine faith. So what did she do in her story? Well, we'll see this. First, faith requires risk. And Rahab put her life on the line for the spies who visited Jericho that night for the chance to be saved. Your act of faith will involve risk too. You may risk being lonely, or being laughed at, or being poor, or being unpopular, or being a number of other things. Faith involves risk, so prepare to take it. Secondly, faith requires choosing sides. You know, when the king's men arrived at Rahab's door asking where are the spies, she was faced with a choice. To whom would she be loyal? Whose collars would she wear? Faith requires you to choose one side or the other. Thirdly, faith requires trust. When Rahab saved the life of the spies, all she had to go on was the spies' word that she and her family would be saved. She didn't have a written contract. She didn't have any guarantees. All she had was trust. And when you take your step of faith, you have to put your trust in God that He will come through for you. Now, fourthly, faith requires identify yourself. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into the house. The scarlet ribbon was Rahab's way of identifying herself with the Hebrew people. It's her way of saying, I'm one of you now. No matter what kind of mess you made in your life, no matter how steeped in sin you are, you can experience total transformation and you can begin to live the life of your dreams if you're willing to take that crucial step of faith. If you're willing to take the risk. If you're willing to choose God's side. If you're willing to trust Him to honor His Word, if you're willing to brand yourself as one of His people, your life can change. Now, I want you to notice one more thing about Rahab's story. It's possible that your life can be used to change the world. It's possible that your life can be used to change the world. This is such an awesome thought here. After Rahab made the arrangement with the spies, the Bible says in verse 21, so she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now, she's mentioned a few chapters later when Joshua conquered the city of Jericho. It says this in Joshua 6:25, but Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Saving the lives of the Hebrew spies dramatically changed the life of Rahab. She started over. She got married. She raised a family. This is not the kind of result one would expect from the life of a prostitute. It's because Rahab became a new person to the grace of God. She had a son named Boaz, who had a son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David, as King David, the one that killed the Goliath and who wrote most of the book of Psalms. She was the great-great-grandmother to him. Rahab went from being a prostitute to being a matriarch of a king. And several generations after David, a young woman named Mary gave birth to a son named Jesus out of that same family line. Do you see what a difference was made to the life of this one woman? King David wouldn't have been King David without Rahab. Solomon wouldn't have been Solomon without Rahab. Joseph wouldn't have been Joseph without Rahab. Her participation in the royal bloodline contributed to the greatest event in the history of the human race, of course, the birth of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that you have the same potential, not just through your bloodline, but through your actions as well. God can use you in a great way. Now, when this story began, Rahab was a prostitute living in a brothel that doubled as a hotel. Her life was moving in one direction, and it wasn't good. She was living in the promised land, only without the benefit of the promises. But Rahab's life changed for better and forever. And how one act of faith undid a life of sin and created for her a new life of promise and a new life of destiny. And it can be the same for us. If we're not living in the life of our dreams, we certainly can begin that today. We don't need a change of scenery, but we do need a change of authority. We need to surrender our life to Jesus Christ and invite Him to come in and take control and to take the step of faith, take a step in His direction, and let Him change our destiny today. And by doing so, we too may have the opportunity to change the world.